All right, we're live. So Novel and 20, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, problem.
And agreeing to take part in College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection. Just for the record, today is December 2nd, 2012, and it's about 2:35. So to get things started, would you please just sort of introduce yourselves?
Novel Bandana from Uptown Newport News.
22. Uptown Newport News.
All right, and so in terms of born and raised in Newport News?
Yeah, born and raised.
Originally born in South Carolina, but raised in Newport News.
Okay, so moved up there when you were little?
Yeah.
Okay.
Military dad.
Mm-hmm. So you mind giving me a little family background as well?
Family background.
Yeah.
Both my parents was together forever. Two older brothers. I'm the youngest of the family. Got in music through my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin, he do music, and my uncle, he was in music too. So
mm-hmm.
It was just something that I was always around.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, Dad originally from New York, mother from South Carolina. My dad moved to South Carolina when his father was killed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how they met.
Okay.
My dad has a younger brother, which is my uncle, of course. He was a DJ and a rapper as well, so
okay. That's
how I got started into it.
Okay, so, I mean, both have music in the blood. Then.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So, you mind discussing a little bit about what it's like to grow up in Uptown Newport News?
It's negative. Negative. Everything is negative, man. It's just, I don't know. It's negative. You just gotta push through, and eventually everybody's gonna end up loving you at the end. But when you start off and nobody knows you from nothing,
mm-hmm.
nobody likes you. If nobody knew you growing up, then it's just negative. There's no love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But if you were actually born and raised there, and people could say, hey, I know him from this, or I knew him from playing ball a while ago, or I went to school with him, then it's cool. But mm-hmm. other than that, it's real negative.
Yeah, it's super competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, instead of it being unity, it's more of everybody wanting to be the alpha male, I guess mm-hmm. you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, it kind of pushes you, because it's like, you know, you're in like the jungle, so it's like if this person doesn't want to, you know, collaborate with me, or they want to be against me, then I got to work harder to make sure mm-hmm. I stay dominant, you mm-hmm. know. So it's a give and a curse.
Mm-hmm. And so that's even within Uptown, or are we talking
everywhere.
Uptown versus downtown?
No, that's everywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Everywhere. Probably the 757 area in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, why do you think that the 757 area is, that there's this lack of community, or actually being like, oh, we're all from this area, let's try to build something?
Because everybody wants to be the first to blow out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eclipse did it, but it ain't like they brought nobody else with them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody wants to be, everybody wants to be the first. It's like a race, and basically, if you're not in first, you're trying to pull anybody else down
mm-hmm.
to be the first.
Mm-hmm.
But what don't nobody realize is if everybody just promote each other, support each other, and eventually everybody can grow. And once you build a bond with everybody, once one person gets on, as long as they're loyal to the movement, everybody's going to get on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with every state or city that ever blew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, the reason that there's no unity is everybody just wants to be the first person to blow.
Yeah, okay. In a way, that's just how it is, but it shouldn't be like that, because if you look at places like New York, you know, like Jay-Z and Busta Rhymes, and I think DMX, you know, mm-hmm. they all went to the same high school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every one of them made it, so mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be like that, but that's just the mindset a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. You know, so in terms of then... we got both family heavy into the music, which sort of brings you up to get it, to be into music. and start to decide, oh, I want to this to be my life. Mm-hmm. What was it like though for friends as well, like going through school? Were your friends into hip hop? Like, how did you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, definitely.
All my friends were into hip hop, but I've always listened to all kinds of music, mm-hmm. but for the main part, all my friends were into hip hop.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, hip hop was just, at a time when I started hip hop, but it wasn't what it is now. It was definitely more of a culture and a way of life.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference now? I mean, what was it then, and what has it become now?
Now it's kind of like a fad, like.
Yeah, it's like a fad. It's more fun now, which, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's more fun now, but back then it was more of a skill, and it was definitely more passionate back mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. Definitely more of a passion, but now it's just all fun.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, are we talking hip hop nationally or locally or both?
Probably both. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely both.
Definitely both.
Yeah.
Because in every aspect of hip hop, as far as the actual music goes to dancing, mm-hmm. now it's just all fun, and it's not as competitive as it once was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, the skill isn't
necessary.
necessary or perfected as it once was when I got into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you first started getting into it, you had to really you really had to prove yourself.
You had to be the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was no question. You had to be the best. When I got into it, it was, if you weren't the best, then it was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You had to be the best.
Okay, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd be interested to hear, what's your first memory of hip-hop?
Memory?
Mm-hmm.
Memory of hip-hop, first memory.
Well, I can speak on mine while you think. My first memory in South Carolina as a child, like I said, my uncle, he used to rap as well as DJ,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and in his room he had two turntables set up, and he would, like, LL Cool J was his favorite person,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so I could just remember, like, him sitting in there just scratching up LL Cool J records, like, for hours, and mm-hmm. I was just sitting there, like, you know, in amazement, like, mm-hmm. as a kid, and it grew on me ever since.
Mm-hmm.
My first memory of hip-hop was probably, I was 8 or 9, and growing up, I listened to a lot of rock, so I wasn't mm-hmm. really into hip-hop like that yet. But my brothers were. I just never paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my older brother one day just riding around, and he threw in – this back when everything was on tape.
Right, right.
And he put in an Onyx tape.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I just interested. I just wanted more. So Onyx was probably the first thing mm-hmm. I listened to.
And what did he put in? Did he put the Back the Fuck Up record?
Nah, it was –
Slam.
Nah, Shut Him Down.
Okay.
It was Shut Him Down with DMX on it.
Okay.
And then from there, he just played the whole tape.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I got into 3-6 Mafia, Eminem. And then from there, just expanded, just listened to everything. But Onyx and 3-6 Mafia was probably the first things I was listening to.
Okay, so yeah, in terms of, influences and folks you like growing up, I mean, we've got... For you, so Onyx, DMX, 3-6 Mafia, okay.
I listen to all kinds, man. Eminem, Jay-Z, Jadakiss, Styles P, Fabulous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who else listened to growing up, man? Listen to all kinds. Then after that, I started getting into the battle rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I can name battle rappers for days. That's what I was into when I was young. Murder Boo, Glow Deluxe. There's so many.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you make that transition? I mean, what was the turning point when you're like, okay, I like these more mainstream folks, yeah. Just in terms of at least popularity and visibility, right. into the battle rap world?
It was more skill.
Mm-hmm.
It was more skill and more in depth. And it was, when I heard it, first thing my mind thought was how did they make these words go together, but at the same time do metaphors off of everything?
Mm-hmm.
So I just liked the skill of it, and I wanted to do it myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just liked it. I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm not as big of a battle rap fan as he is. He's, you know, he loves it, but just music. Like, I just fell in love with music. Like, I can remember, like, my dad used to listen to like a lot of reggae and a mm-hmm. lot of like Uncle Luke and stuff like that. And then even my mother, like, she actually introduced me to Biggie Smalls. And once I heard him, it just made me like want to pick up a pen and just mm-hmm. try to, you know, do it myself. That was just my main influence. So,
mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the fact that your father comes from New York, yeah. right? And so, as a kid growing up, were you traveling back and forth to visit family in New York as well?
No, because like I said, when they moved to South Carolina, mm-hmm. a lot of my other family also migrated there. So, okay. you know, I've been, but not as much. You mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As I could say, down south played a bigger part mm-hmm. in my life.
And in terms of moving to South Carolina, is that where family was from to begin with?
My mother's side was originally from there. South Carolina and Atlanta, Georgia is where the majority of my mother's side is
okay.
from.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, your outcast and people like that, they also had a big, you know, influence on me because that's what you hear down there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting. I had a good conversation with somebody, another interview the other day, talking about the differences between, like, Richmond style and mm-hmm. Newport News style mm-hmm. and how Newport News is more northern.
Yeah.
And Richmond is southern.
And Richmond is further up north.
Yeah,
It is weird, but that is true. That's mm-hmm. very true.
And so, I mean, so how would you guys then describe your style? I mean, does it follow that same sort of imprint or pattern? Or
I juggle in between both. Mm-hmm. Like, I juggle. I do, sometimes I'll do something more lyrical, just show that I have the skill. Mm-hmm. But personally, I'm into more of a down south style more. So I back forth with the down south mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. sometimes I blend it together. Mm-hmm. I just juggle in between the both because really nobody does that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nobody balances it out. Mm-hmm. Everybody has your down south good beat, can ride the beat, ain't really saying nothing. Mm-hmm. And somebody is just all the way lyrical, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it's not as appealing to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I blend them.
Okay.
Yeah, with me, I just let like the music just talk to me. However, when I listen to a beat or something like that, however I feel I should, you know, approach it, that's just the way I do it. And, you know, whatever comes out, so.
Mm-hmm. So how, in terms of then your creative process when you're both are making art, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is walk me through the sort of, what your creative process is in terms of, I mean, do you start with lyrics, you hear a beat? I mean, how do you start from sort of nothing and then end up with the finished song or at least the song finished enough that you're ready to right. send it out into the world?
Either I go through the process of, I'll take a real life experience and I'll just start thinking in my mind and just forming a song right there
mm-hmm.
and finding the right beat that'll go on and just make it happen from there, or I'll hear a dope beat and I'll say to myself, I need this beat. I can't let this pass me by, and I'll make the song right there.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
With me, it's kind of like, I like to listen to other people for like inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like kind of like how an athlete listens to something to get them pumped up for the game.
Yeah.
I listen to other people just to, you know, get me amped up to want to do something, and then I'll go through, you know, a selection of beats, and then when I find one that just instantly makes me start to think of something,
mm-hmm.
then I usually go with that, and you know, I just flow with it; it just comes
mm-hmm.
out.
So. Mm-hmm. And so, where I mean, are you making your own beats? People sliding beats to you? I mean,
some people sliding them. Sometimes I steal them. I'm saying some people will put them on the internet for download, and fuck it, if you can download it, then hey, I'm gonna use it. It's not like I'm making money off it. I'm just trying to get out.
So yeah.
It's not like I'm profiting from it.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like SoundClick and stuff like that.
Right. SoundClick. Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to get out. But what I've recently been doing, I've been reaching out to different producers from the area, and they've just been giving me beats.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. So in terms of In terms of the area and DJs and stuff working with, I mean, who are you both working with? Who are you connected with?
The DJ I deal with the most is DJ Bam. DJ Bam Bam. I got a relationship with DJ Tops. He's a DJ in the strip clubs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did a couple shows for him at strip clubs. Other than that, those are probably the only DJs that I have a real relationship with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's DJs that I associate with, but I've never done anything with mm-hmm, them. Like, mm-hmm. They never spun my tracks or nothing like that.
Yeah, and I'm working with a DJ by the name of DJ Chose. He actually is the DJ for Gunplay, which is a member of Maybach Music Group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when I do my mixtape, I'm actually going to get him to host it, but he's the main one that I've been working with. It's a couple local DJs that I'm cool with, but we haven't done any work really yet, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I'm sure the time will come.
Mm-hmm. And then do you have a group or connect with other MCs that you work with as well, or?
I try to network and work with everybody. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot. I've worked with a lot of artists. Double XL,
mm-hmm,
Verse,
mm-hmm.
Money, Bricks, Bonds, Technique, 22 Medieval, Zoku, Miguel Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with so many people. I can't name all of them. Mm-hmm. I work with so many people, mainly from Newport News.
Yeah. Okay, so
I've worked with a lot.
So in a lot of ways, really working hard to make sure that Newport News folks are coming up together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. Like, if you're from Newport News and I see that you can actually rap and you have some kind of a skill, I'm gonna want to work with you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to do it. Even if the skill isn't there, but the grind is there and your name is getting out there and I see that you're doing something, I'm probably going to try to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I like to stay grounded with everybody from where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. The same.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Actually, me and him combined with four other people, that's who we really work with the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Zoku, Miguel Guns, Nonsense, and Medieval. And actually what we did is we came together and kind of like pitched in our money and ideas and everything to where we could do the things on our own, so mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to, you know, kick out money to pay this person to do this and this person to do that.
We all grew up rapping together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. all grew
since
up together.
I was like, what, 13?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the youngest one. They've always been. They're the older ones, but we all came up rapping together, and it was just ironic that we just happened to be some of the more skilled lyrically in the city. So it was just ironic how that worked out, that we all ended up rapping together and coming up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So when did you all first meet?
I was in middle school with Medieval.
Mm-hmm.
And I was battle rapping at the time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't write a song to save my life. I was battle rapping at the time. And I started rapping with Medieval.
Mm-hmm.
And then Medieval would always tell me about him. So then one day I met him. And then spit a couple verses to each other. We got cool. But we weren't rapping together. We were just mainly just hanging out.
Okay.
And then when I got to high school, I was a little shy and I didn't really want to rap for nobody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I got forced to. And then from there, everybody liked it. And I just started battling left and right. It was just battle. That's just all it was. I was battling. I still probably couldn't write a song to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I mean, we just all started rapping together. And then he was cool with Miguel Guns, and then eventually I met Miguel, and then we formed a relationship, and then Zoe came along. He was from the same neighborhood as Miguel. Mm-hmm. Zoe cool. He was from the same neighborhood as Miguel. Zoe was rapping, but he wasn't rapping.
He was dancing.
Yeah. Zoe was dancing. And basically when he started getting better and feeling more comfortable, mm-hmm. that's when he decided, all right, I'm going to rap. So we was all still rapping together. And then who else? A homeboy Nonsense came along. He was from Alabama. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I chilled with his little brother, but I never met him because during the time period, I think he was in jail. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he was in jail in Alabama. And then he came out and came back here, and everybody was like, yo, he is dope. Like, because everybody told me he rapped, but I never had a cosign from anybody in my immediate mm-hmm, circle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was like, yo, he's dope. You got to listen to him. I was like, all right, I'm listening to him. And then we did about a 20-minute cypher one day, and I was like, yeah, he's hands down the illest lyrical person I've heard from Alabama in my life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we was like, all right, he's coming along. He's at it. Mm-hmm. And then from there, once we had all of our key ingredients of different styles and all that, that's when we just started saying, look, we're going to make a game plan. We're going to start throwing in money. Mm-hmm. We're going to start buying everything we need. We're going to block out all the middlemen. We're going to be basically our own manufacturers. Right. Mm-hmm. So we just started throwing in money and getting everything we need. CD duplicators, studio, cameras, everything.
Everything.
So in terms of current projects, what are y'all working on?
I have three mixtapes out. I got my first mixtape, Triple Beam Scale. I got my second mixtape called Fuck a Rapper, which is more lyrical. It's just mainly a bunch of freestyles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just going over all bars, really. And then my third mixtape I have out now called I Ain't Changed. And now I'm in the process of working on another mixtape now, but I don't have the title yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to wait till the whole project is finalized and get the feel of the whole actual project and then throw a title on it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have some mixtapes out already, but they're there, but this one that I'm working on now is like my baby, so mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it's called Ice Cream Conversations, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's a metaphor of like giving people a scoop, like mm-hmm, let mm-hmm. you know what's going on with me right now. Mm-hmm. So we're getting all that together, and then we're gonna also do like a collaboration mixtape with all of us.
Okay,
all the six members of the group, we're also gonna drop that, so we got that coming soon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's in terms of all the six members. It's sort of like you're all sort of loosely affiliated, or are you all under like one banner name?
No, like we're all solo artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But it just so happened that we all grew up together.
Right.
Okay. So we're already like a family. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Kind of like the Wu-Tang Clan, how mm-hmm. you know they did their group thing, but everybody did their own.
Yeah.
Or exactly. Dipset, you know, something like that. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it's not a group, but it, you know, mm-hmm. it's solo artists, but we come together to work, you know.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just we always around each other, so we might as well form a fucking name.
Right. So in terms of Uptown versus Downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard that there's a difference in style between uptown music and downtown music. I mean, is this true or what? And if so, are you guys sort of following that difference or what?
Think of all the downtown artists. I don't know. As far as right now, from what I see now. To me, it seems like the Uptown artists are a little more lyrically in depth mm-hmm. just from the artist that's out from downtown now. But, I mean, I like their music. I listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm cool with most of them. I like their music. But the only, is it really a difference?
I think it just depends on the person. It don't really have nothing to do with uptown or downtown. Yeah. It's just some people, you know, have this, or some people have that. You may have more people uptown that, you know, floated this way, and more people downtown that floated that mm-hmm. way. But, you know, it all depends on the person ultimately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, In terms of when you when a mixtape's finished, how do you get it out to folks?
Dat Piff, press them up, pass them out anywhere I can go that I know the community is gonna be at. Facebook, I go to everybody's Facebook page and post as many as I can. Really annoy people because that's the only way anybody's gonna listen. Twitter,
definitely
post it to people on Twitter, even if I'm not following them and they're not following me. If I just see somebody, I'm gonna post it to them, because you never know if they're gonna like it or not. I mean, it's in the air.
I'll get that in a minute.
Well, yeah, just like right now, you just said we got the duplicator. We've been working the internet probably more so than the groundwork, but now since we have the duplicator, we could press these CDs up ourselves and start working the ground more. So a lot of these, you know, college campuses, I know college kids, you know, they thrive off of music. Hitting a lot of these campuses around the area, you know, just different places, just, you know, hoping the word of mouth spreads, you know. Because, you know, the internet's cool, but when you combine it with the groundwork.
Because a quick way for more fans or supporters to even acknowledge you more is if they see you. Like, you could be that guy on the internet all day, but if they actually see you, it's a better look. It's kind of like going in for a job. Like, you could apply online, but if you actually walk in and show that you're pursuing it, believe it or not, they're really more into that, as long as they can see you.
You know, mentioned something a little bit earlier that I wanted to sort of go back around to, but bringing up difference between like battle rapping and writing a song. You mind just sort of expanding on that and actually talk about what the difference is, and perhaps also talk about what skills you need to do, you know, what's the different set of skills there?
Well, I mean, battle rapping to me is just showing you're all around better than that person, and in the same sense showing that you're a better person than that person, obviously. But it's just being more skilled and being able to break that person down. As far as writing a song, personally, my music, I just rap about me and my life, whether right or wrong. It happened, so I'm gonna rap about it. So I just make music that people that's done the same things I've done can relate to, and that's walk the same footsteps. They're gonna be able to listen to it and relate to that. Be like, yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely. I used to battle rap in my day. Battle rapping, I think you know, certain people take it like he takes it, you know, a lot more serious than I do. When I did battle rapping, it was all like a ego trip kind of thing. You know, I'm in the lunchroom in high school, and everybody knows, you know, oh, 22, he can destroy this guy because they've seen it so many times, and they crowd around to watch it. So, you know, I did that to do that, but when I got into writing songs, it was kind of almost like, I guess, somebody with a journal or a diary, you know. I just start writing about what was going on with me, or things that I seen, maybe some from somebody else's, you know, point of view, just telling stories, you know, things like that. And it's both of them, you got to respect both of them, because it takes a lot to do both of them, you know. So I tip my hat to battle rappers, I tip my hat to song makers, I tip my hat to people that can do both. You know, the process of doing them are totally different.
Like, you don't want to write a song in battle rap mode. It's not gonna happen. You don't want to do a song that say you want radio play, or say that you want in a club or something like that. You don't want to do a song overfilled with metaphors. It's gonna be like, what the fuck is he talking about? So
one set of skills is for, one set of skills is for the community, for the cipher, and one set of skills is.
It's for the money, the bread and butter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, with all that being said then, mm-hmm. I mean, how would you define hip-hop?
A collection of all of it, you know, it's just...
There's different aspects of everything. There's different kinds of music everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you go everywhere in the country, there's different kinds of music that they're into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hip-hop just happens to be, you know, like, the urban...
Yeah, hip-hop is the culture of communities. Mm-hmm. It's really what it is.
Right.
It's just however you express your community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, in terms then of thinking about hip hop as a culture that, you know, like the radio station, you know, built from the ground up. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. What's your knowledge or understanding about the history of hip hop in 757.
757?
Yeah, Newport News, like where you guys are coming from.
Right. As far as the artists or?
Artists, culture, I mean anything, you know, anything if we think about hip hop broadly as a culture, you know, so any of the four elements, whatever.
As far as like the artists go, I know when I was younger, I used to hear like Mark Menace.
Yeah, Mark Menace. That's the man. Mark Menace and Shiny Toma.
Yeah.
They really paved the way for Uptown. Mm-hmm. Like the Uptown Newport News.
And
they paved the way.
DJ Caree and DJ Silk. Yeah.
DJ Silk. Yeah. Joe Trax. Joe Trax has the lab recording studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, they've had a lot of dope artists come out of there, and DJ Law.
Yeah,
from the Buddha Brothers.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. Those are the people like that you, when I was younger, that I used mm-hmm. to hear. I also used to hear Can't Forget T.R., even though they're closer to the same age group as me. Mm-hmm. I definitely used to hear about them a lot when I was younger, too. And those are kind of like the artists. As far as the music goes, you know, we never really got our recognition for the music. As much as like say Norfolk or Virginia Beach with Timberlands and your Pharrells, they mm-hmm. kind of outshined everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You think Newport News, you think more athletes, you know. But
yeah.
It's definitely, I feel like the time is coming, but it's definitely, you know, been an underground scene for
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in terms of the, like just trying to set it up in terms of years,
mm-hmm.
I mean, are we talking late 90s? I mean, what are we talking in terms of when?
Yeah, I would talk
these folks.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Definitely.
Definitely with T.R. Mark Menace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely with that.
And so thinking about it, and are those really, I mean, were there folks that were maybe the class ahead of them, those folks as well, or is that really sort of the jump off point in terms of?
I think that's was really the jump off point, because you had your Mark Menace and Johnny Toma.
Mm-hmm.
Those was more of, we're lyrical, we can rap, and they were ill.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had your TR, that was, we live everything that we rap about, and we're not lying. So
yeah, I couldn't say it was the jump off. I can say as far as I know.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as I know, that was
good. As far as when I knew that there was a local rap scene, as far as the underground, that was it.
But who knows?
For me.
Yeah. Who knows what they know, because they're a lot older than us. So
exactly. Because from what I understand, the main starting point of the, this is all that I know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like somebody else could know something else. But the main, just for Newport News music period and the starting of it, that was actually out there was the Born Nats. And I think they're from Ridley Circle, downtown.
Yeah, I heard of them.
Yeah, so from what I understand, that was like the first ones that was actually out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't know how far it goes back other than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Born Nats been doing it for a while.
So in terms of something I like to ask everybody, just curious, is, I mean, a sense of, when did hip hop get to Virginia?
It's been there for as long as I can remember.
I mean, you got to think.
Been here before we were here, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you got to think. I mean, Missy Elliott was doing back when, who knows how long ago.
Yeah.
Back when she had Sister and stuff like that.
Yeah, in a group. But I mean, you know, I think.
So it was here, and then you got to think of all the producers that came from here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Some of the best producers.
You got to calculate when they actually started getting into it. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your Teddy Riley's, your Pharrell's.
Yeah, Teddy Riley.
Your Timberland's, your Knott's Raw. I think you said you had Bink coming up here.
Well, yeah, gonna go down to a studio.
Yeah, he's to me, and I actually follow him on Twitter, he's one of the most, he has a lot of major work, but he's one of the ones that fly really under the radar.
Yeah.
And but he's incredible, like Lex Luger, all those guys. In a way, Virginia kind of drove music as far as production goes. It kind of drove hip-hop.
If you really think about it, Virginia is hip-hop.
Yeah, it kind of drove hip-hop.
You got to look at all the big records that ever came out and all the number one albums. Then you got to start calculating how many producers from Virginia were involved in that.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, went down. I mean, exactly. When you think about, I mean, all the folks that, like, I mean, just even like Timbaland and Bink Dawg, what they were involved with. Yeah. I mean, it's just and of course, going like you said, Teddy Riley. I mean,
yeah. It's always like, you know, you have your hip hop, and then it's like when some of those producers come from Virginia, it's like a new, like a whole new era. You know, they bring a whole totally new sound. Like, nobody was sounding like Timbaland. Nobody was sounding like Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
When Teddy Riley was doing what he was doing, nobody was sounding like him. You know, it's just Lex Luger came with a whole nother down south, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is. Like, the producers, you know, I really, really tip my hat to them, you know.
So sort of talked about a little bit about thinking about the 757 history, but also curious about just sort of like the everyday stuff, like radio stations. I mean, when you guys go into record stores, when record stores still existed, of course. And also really interested in clubs and venues too, not only where you all perform, but also where were you able to go and see folks?
I can't think of anywhere.
That's the problem.
I can't think of anywhere. See, the thing with here is there's always been an underground scene, but there's never been that much opportunity to showcase it. Like, the opportunity to showcase really only started happening within these past 2 years.
Yeah.
Other than that, you had to know somebody and knew somebody
to
actually get out there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, in Virginia as a whole, it's kind of like you don't hear about the artists here until everybody hears about them, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so, why is he here already? Sorry. Well, that's cool. He's early. Okay, so that's weird. So it's like, even though it's a local scene, I mean, it's got to be national.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, like by the time we hear about a person, that's everybody's heard about them. Like, you think about like your Chris Browns or your Trey Songz or your even the Clips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you from Virginia?
No, I'm from Michigan. And what I knew, I knew coming in was Clips is what Clips and Neptunes and Timbaland is what I knew.
I was born and raised in Virginia,
and we probably heard about them the same time
you
did.
I was born and raised here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, it was. Kind of heard a little, you know, heard a little noise about like Lord Willin with the Clips, but it was Hell Hath No Fury. I mean, that's when I knew who the Clips were, and then I knew that they were coming from Virginia Beach.
Yeah,
and I actually never knew that Missy came from Virginia.
Yeah, but I can say Lord Willin. We definitely played Lord Willin, but like I said, I mean, you by the time you hear about these guys, the world has heard about them, and I really think that's the problem because there's so much talent here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even those guys, like, you know, some of those guys, you look at like Chris Brown, you know, despite the negative things about him, he came with a whole new, you know, like, wow, I haven't seen anybody dance and sing like that since Michael Jackson, you know.
Right.
Or Trey Songz, you know, people compare him, like, wow, I haven't heard R&B like that since R. Kelly, or, you know, but it's a lot of talent around here that just doesn't get the opportunity. It's almost like you have to go elsewhere, you know, and it shouldn't be like that. With all that Virginia has contributed to
hip-hop. Exactly.
Yeah,
it seems like there's a... Yeah, you know, even going back to the top of this interview, that there is just... There's something missing in terms of linking everybody up, or at least some sort of infrastructure, I think what a pipeline,
it is,
right?
I really think what it is, the people that's actually made it, they're not coming back. I mean, they come back because I've seen them, but they don't come back to put nobody on. They come back in a sense of, yeah, I made it, I'm here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I seen Malice, like, Malice from the Clips. Mm-hmm. I seen him about 3 months ago at the Virginia Music Conference, and he was handing out his books and doing autographs and shit like that. But, I mean, it wasn't like he was coming back to put anybody on or nothing like that.
Right, I mean.
He was just coming back to just give advice to everybody trying to get on.
And I think a lot of that is like, they probably went through the same thing that we went through, you know?
Yeah, it's probably like of having no help.
Having no help, and then you finally get it. Now it feels like everybody's reaching out to you like you're the savior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, and then he probably went through the same thing of everybody from where you're from saying, oh, fuck him, he ain't shit. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm, so it's like, of course, when I come back, I ain't putting y'all on. Like,
Right. Hold on a sec. I got to tell Amy to go collect the Alexa.
This feels like we're closer. Does it not?
All right. For the record, we're not going to edit that out because we're not doing any editing. But, okay, so.
That's cool. Double XL, come on in. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with X.
Yeah, we'll have them come over. We're going to have Amy give them the same sort of
spiel.
Yeah, and then we'll send them over. That is an interesting thing about, Malice. Like, even though, I guess he still lives in Virginia Beach, you know, Chad Hugo still lives in Virginia Beach.
But one thing I can say about him during that music conference, it was, the way it was you was in a room and it had tables surrounded. And you went to artists or A&Rs from record labels, from like Warner Brothers and Def Jam and Interscope and shit like that. And you basically went and they listened to your music. They listened to two songs for like 90 seconds or some shit.
Okay.
And your options were, it was Malice was the first one, which I was trying to go to.
Yeah.
Because he's from here, so I would rather actual artists from here listen to me, so you'd be like, yeah. You had Malice, you had somebody from Interscope, you had somebody from Warner Brothers and Def Jam, they were at the same table. Mm-hmm. You had DJ Khaled, and then the guy I went to, I still don't know who he's with, but he was pretty cool. But one thing I can say about Malice was that two song, 90 second shit, he was listening to like four songs all the way through everybody.
Okay.
So he was actually listening, but nobody from here has actually came back and grabbed anybody. Be like, yo, I'm on, this is a new thing of hip hop, this is what y'all need to listen to. Mm-hmm, nobody's actually did that.
Outside of the people in their immediate circle.
Exactly.
And I gotta say, I like to say the Neptunes, because you said Chad Hugo.
Yeah.
I always give Pharrell all the credit, because he's just the, you know, Chad kind of plays the background. When I say producers, I meant to say the Neptunes. Definitely got to, you know, Chad contributes a lot.
Okay, so in terms of a sound or style, I mean, you know, I mean, basically mentioned that in a lot of ways, hip-hop or Virginia has been sort of the engine of hip-hop sound and
style. Well, I look at it like this. Like, Virginia is the top of the North and the bottom of the South. We're in between. You see what I'm saying? So it kind of balances out, and you just get a mixture of everything. And just the producers there just end up making something dope.
Yeah.
As far as artists here, I mean, I know it can show with me that I have more of an up north style than I have more of a down south style. I'm stuck in between them.
Yeah, it's definitely like he said, bottom of the North, top of the South. It's like when you come here, people from Florida may say, oh, this is the city.
We up north.
Yeah. People from New York say, oh, this is the country.
Right.
It's kind of in between, you know. But that, like I said, is good because it gives you a mixture. And then this being predominantly a military state, you get so many people from all over that, you know, it's just a mixture of people.
So in terms of that mixture, and like you're saying, that like weird geographical space, or the not weird, but that unique geographical space that Virginia inhabits in terms of in between North and South, I mean, is that perhaps the reason why there hasn't been an identifiable, like, Virginia sound? I mean, you know, because nobody's saying like, this sounds like Virginia.
Because everybody sounds different.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. It's definitely like that. It's like different. It's like looking at a Picasso painting and be like, oh, yeah, that's typical Picasso. No, you don't never know what you're going to get. So, yeah, it's definitely like that. Yeah.
So how does that impact the art that's coming out of Virginia?
I think it makes it better in a sense because you just don't know what you're going to get, you know?
Yeah, I like it.
It's not, oh, he's from Virginia, he sounds just like him, he sounds just like him, because it's just so much, you know, variety. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, how would you describe the state of Virginia hip-hop right now?
I think the unity is getting better. Mm-hmm. It's not where it should be, but it's definitely better than it has been, you know? Even things like what you're doing, you know, to me, it's a big step, you know? And I think it's getting better, slowly but surely.
Yeah, I co-signed that.
Yeah.
All right, so in terms of, like to do this section where we sort of future cast about hip-hop. However, to start it off, I'm going to ask you a question that makes you look back, so... Already, so you know, already sort of negating what we're trying to do, right? But really want to know how hip hop has impacted your life.
How has it impacted my life? I guess it made me who I am today. All the influences and things like that. I guess you could say maybe who I am today.
For me, it kind of it made me look at life like I told you, Biggie Smalls was a big influence of mine. It made me look at life like, wow, you know, this person is going through similar things that I'm going through. You know, yet he made it and he's talking about it and he's, you know, giving back, and that's what I want to do. I just want to make it, you know, just to be able to for somebody one day, well, if my music touches the masses, for somebody to relate to me and be like, wow, he went through, you know, the same thing I went through, or even somebody that's in a better position be like, wow, you know, that's I, you know, I give him credit because he came out of his situation and now he's doing this and, you know, he's giving back, he's touching people. I think music, not just hip hop, but just music period, you know, it touches people in whatever type of way you, you know, you take it, but that's just what it's really about. I just think hip-hop was just a particular thing that touched my life, so, you know, it was the one that I related to the most, so.
So, you know, thinking then about hip-hop's sort of past, present, and future, I mean, what do you both think that hip-hop's place is in American culture?
I think hip-hop is the American culture, honestly. I think, yeah, hip-hop is probably the American culture. I think hip-hop is the only thing that gives people overseas that hate our guts want to be like Americans. So I would say hip-hop is the American culture.
It's definitely bigger than what it was. That's definitely...
Yeah, because you got to think, back then it was very frowned upon.
Yeah.
And now you got Barack Obama saying that you might be the next Lil Wayne. So,
it's definitely bigger than what it was. It's just a transition, you know. Like when you look at like your parents or you look at your grandparents, you know, they listen to Al Green or they might listen to Elvis Presley or whatever, and you think about it like, wow, when we're older, we're still going to be listening to Biggie Smalls or Tupac Shakur because that's what we were around when we were younger. So it's like...
And all the young people might be like, what the hell are you listening to?
What is that? Yeah, you know, because they have a younger rapper. It's like... But that's just you know, it's definitely more dominant than ever. You know, all genres of music are still relevant, but hip hop is definitely dominant. It's just growing more dominant by the day. So,
who are you both listening to today? I mean, who are the folks that are out there doing it that you would listen to or respect or?
It's a lot.
I mean, I listen to a lot. I don't listen to that many lyrical rappers because they're not as good as they. The people that are called lyrical rappers now, they're not as good as lyrical rappers once were.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Kendrick Lamar is probably the dopest I've heard so far.
Definitely.
That's new.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as far as lyrical rappers, I listen to a lot, but I mainly listen to more of down south music.
Because
I would rather listen to somebody that knows that they can't rap and they're not trying to be lyrical, that's just rapping about what they actually do, than listen to somebody that wants to be a lyrical rapper but isn't to the standard that I put lyrical rappers up to be. So I would rather listen to somebody from the South that makes just real music.
For me, it's kind of a mood thing. Sometimes I'm in the mood to listen to, you know, Southern music that gets you going. Sometimes I'm in the mood to listen to Drake, which people might consider like, oh, he's emotional, but I respect him because he raps about real or sings about real emotions. Or sometimes I might want to listen to a storyteller like Kendrick Lamar or Andre 3000. It just depends. It's just, with me, music is a mood thing. You know, however my mood is determines what I want to listen to or what artist I want to listen to. But I listen to everything. Definitely.
You know, it was funny. You bring back to a point that I wanted to ask you about, but the connection between sort of breaking records and the strip clubs. You mind just sort of discussing what that connection is? And because it seems to be that that's like a, in my mind at least, it seems that like that specifically comes out of like Atlanta or something, right? Like, or that scene, or the Southern scene.
Well, strip clubs, the music there is kind of no holds barred. They can really play whatever they want because it's not like anybody's going to start fighting for real, because when you got a half naked girl dancing in front of you, last thing you think about is why the fuck he's staring at you.
right.
So you could really play anything you want in a strip club, because believe it or not, when you go to the strip clubs, they rarely play the so-called strip club music. Last time I went to a strip club, all I heard was a bunch of hard ass Young Jeezy songs. So really, it's easy to break a song in a strip club, because no matter what it is, the girls are going to dance to it anyway. And as long as they can dance to it, who's ever watching her is going to listen to that shit. So it's easy to break a song in a strip club, because you can play whatever you want.
And it's like if the song has the right beat and the girls like dancing to it, you know, they might even request it more.
Okay.
And they request it, you know, even though the guy's sitting there with his tongue out his mouth staring, it's sinking into his subconscious, like, I'm hearing this song.
Right. So
it's kind of hypnotizing.
Yeah. So if you can get the girl to dig your song, I mean, in a sense, you're gonna get more spins, right?
Exactly. Believe it or not, not even just
the
in
more
a strip
females
club,
that like you, yeah, period.
Yeah.
The more just random guys are like, yo, who is this guy?
Yeah, because all the girls are talking about him, so I want to know who it is. And girls listen to lyrics a lot more than a lot of guys do. I give them that.
Believe it or not, they really listen to lyrics.
They definitely do.
Yeah, and it's kind of surprising.
It is, but, you know, you definitely don't want to neglect the women at all. They're strong, you know. So, but I think that's what it is with the strip club. You know, when the girls are dancing and this is what they like, then the guys are like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the song I heard in strip club.
Right.
Hears it on the radio or something like that.
Right, he's gonna come on the radio while he's driving down the street with his girl. Yeah. And he's gonna be like, I heard it. This is a good song.
It's gonna remind him of a good time in his life. You know, and like I said, that goes back to music setting the mood in you.
All right, so you know, I guess I really only got one question about the future, but sort of looking forward and thinking forward. What's hip hop's place gonna be in your life?
I mean, I'm gonna always be into hip hop. Like that ain't nothing that's gonna ever change.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I've been around it so long that I'm gonna always be into it. I'm a part of it. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. I look at it like, you know, nobody knows what happens when you go to the afterlife. You know, most people believe in God or believe it's afterlife, but nobody knows for certain. I'm a firm believer in God, but I look at it like while I'm here, mm-hmm. I wanna. When the day comes that I, you know, leave this planet, I want to be able to look back and say, I live my life doing what I love to do. Mm-hmm, and that's music. That's hip hop. Mm-hmm, so I feel like that, you know, it's just in me. That's just what I want to do. It's just, you know.
Okay. So, you know, in terms of actually rolling through my sort of checklist, hit everything. But, you know, was there anything that I didn't ask that I should have, and also anything you want to add?
If I had to add anything, it would just be to thank you, like, just for what you're doing, because I think this is, you know, this is something good that, and I hope you know y'all reach the level of attention that y'all are trying to reach with it, because
definitely.
You asked some good questions that really needed to be addressed. So
right.
I really don't have nothing to add as far as the questions, because I think you hit, you know, the main stuff on the head. So.
Cosine.
Okay. Well, well, in that case then, you know, just want to say for the record, and also let you know too that, I mean, glad that you were willing to participate, and also, you know, we're humbled to have you here, because, I mean, there's no way that this collection happens without you all coming in and actually wanting to talk, so, you know, I'm grateful and I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Well, that's it.
All right.